Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
On the beach, the only place to read your emails and your tweets. It's Wednesday, January 27th. I'm J.E. Skeets. We got hashtag full squad up in here. We got Mr. What You Need to Know himself, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Bassmaster ripping them lips, Trey Kirby.
Hey, yo.
Hey,
yo. Yo. The international man of mystery taking it to the max, the Ellis.
Friends.
Lily. Last but not least, making the magic happen for the second time today. Well, actually, the third time today. It's JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team. Joining us live on YouTube. Once again, almost at 28,000 subs. Ooh, we're oh so close. So please continue to like and comment and subscribe and share. You got to check out Tass's daily What You Need to Know series. You got to check out this morning's daily podcast talking to Lamar Hurd from the Blazers broadcast team. That was a blast. Check out Trey's weekly 7 days in the NBA recap series. That one went up yesterday. And finally, I'm not done. Tomorrow, well, we got a brand new edition of Whoopsies, the NBA Bloops and the Hoops. That's coming. We've got, of course, Mr. What You Need to Know there, dropping a new one. We got the Daily Show. And then Thursday night, I teased this on this morning podcast. We're going to try something new on YouTube, calling it NBA Happy Hour, where we're going to fire up YouTube, around halftime of the first game on TNT. I did fact check it after this morning show. It is Blazers Rockets. It was originally Heat Clippers, and they flexed it out. So, around halftime of the Blazers Rockets, we're going to jump on YouTube, crack a beer, talk to the fans, and just hang out, really. We might do a little watch party, really, or something like that. But super cash, you know, just thought we could add a little bit more to JD's plate.
Super cash.
You know, JD has a busy morning. He's got a busy afternoon, but he's usually free at night.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
I don't know why not.
It's just sitting there. It's just an open spot on my calendar. Right. So why not fill it?
Why not? Why not? We'll see how this goes. I don't know if we're going to turn it into a podcast or not. If so, if you're just a listener to the show, maybe check us out on YouTube. Just search for No Dunks on YouTube. Lots coming your way over the next couple of days, but we got some great cues as always here, Tass, as we hit the beach.
Here we go. Greetings from the Outer Banks, No Dunks crew. Long time, first time here. So let's just get into it. I'm a North Carolina transplant, originally from Oklahoma. So who should I be more excited about? SGA or LaMelo? Thunder or Hornets? Dort or Dort? I don't get that part.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Okay. He capitalized Lou Dort, even though I yelled both of them. He capitalized Dort, the first one. So I assume that's Lou Dort.
Yep.
Or Dort, lowercase. I don't know. I love both teams, but where should I focus the next few years? Thanks, boys. That's from Chris B. Skeets, what do you think? OKC or Hornets?
Well, yeah, the all caps Dort, no doubt, is Lou Dort on the Thunder. I was very confused as well. I was like, wait, do the Hornets somehow have like a secret Dort? that I don't know about? I know they got a bunch of Martins. They got some twins over there. Is there a secret door we don't know about? No. Yeah, but besides that part, come on, Chris. Look, you know my answer to this. I'm Team Canadian Thunder, right? I'm all in on OKC with Dort and with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is averaging still 22 points per game, 5.5 boards, 6.5 assists, 52% from the floor, nearly 40% from three, nice usage percentage at 26.2, and playing a lot of games for them. So leading them to a decent record. Not incredible record yet, but better than most people thought they would be. So I am going hands down OKC. You're from there too. I get now that you're in North Carolina, but come on. Come on, just watch the LaMelo Ball highlights. Watch when Gordon Hayward goes for 38 or 39 every once in a while. But keep your eye on the Thunder, man. This is a young team. I saw Andrew Schlecht guys tweet the other night when they beat the Blazers, which was a really nice win on the road. It was the seventh youngest starting lineup in NBA history. 21 years and 185 days. That was the average. It was Bazley, Dort, SGA, a guy named Teo Maledon, and then Roby there. So, yeah, a young crew. But I go OKC, Trey. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, but you're not right. Why choose? Come on. You don't need to be worried about the Thunder and the Hornets running into each other in the finals right now. Enjoy both of them. Root for the home team. Who of us here is worried that the Raptors and the Hawks are going to be meeting in the Eastern Conference Finals and you're going to have to finally throw your fandom challenge down? Enjoy both of them. Comparison is the thief of joy. You can watch the Thunder. You can watch the Hornets. They're usually on at different times. They're in different time zones. Exciting reasons to watch both of them, like the hometown hero, Isaiah Roby, who plays for the Thunder. He's from Illinois, Skeet. So yeah, there's reasons to watch them besides usage rate and average age. Both of these teams are super fun to watch. You're going to want to see LaMelo throwing it up to Miles Bridges. You're going to want to see SGA and Dort, the Canadian connection. Enjoy them both.
Lee, what do you think?
I'm going to ride the LaMelo train while we're in this moment, because it's been pretty good so far. It's been he's lived up to the highlight hype anyway. We've seen some great passes, some great plays, and I think the ceiling could be a little bit higher, although the troughs could be a little bit lower too. I think with SGA and Dort, you're going to get a more consistent performance. Mm-hmm. But I think with LaMelo, you're going to see some incredible games, incredible moments. And I think that is just going to put him ahead, slightly ahead. Look, Dorty, he's got some pretty crazy defensive highlights. So let's be honest. I mean, he goes out there and plays defense. Like, he's almost like a football player, an American football player, who's just like, hey, come and play basketball. He's like, all right. And he's super, super aggressive on the court.
It's like,
on the
it's like that Big Beef highlight clips. We got those football players rebounding.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was Dude Perfect who did that compilation of, like, you know, every guy you see at a pickup run, there's the football guy who's just like super in someone's face. And that's kind of what Dorty is. And on the offensive end, it's like you're having a heart attack every time he shoots the ball. It's either a swish or he could clunk it off the side of the backboard. And SGA, he's a smooth mover out there, but I don't really remember a big dunk from him, you know, like a big highlight reel dunk anyway. So I think, you know, he's putting up incredible numbers. He's a great player. But I just think if you want to have if you want to sort of just enjoy the higher moments more, I go with LaMelo Ball. I think it's there right now, but of course he could plateau out as well. That's the problem. You know, maybe this is as good as LaMelo gets. Who knows?
How dare you slander Dort's shooting, by the way. He's shooting 47%, nearly 40% from three. You want to know what LaMelo's shooting?
No,
40% from the floor and 31% from three. And Lee, even worse, 66% at the line. Dort's an average 75-76% shooter.
I just feel like with Dort, though, it would be like it was in the bubble, where he could go 0-for-8 or he could go 7-for-8, you know, from 3-point range. That just kind of is just the way it feels, because that shot and LaMelo's mechanics are not great. Let's not kid ourselves.
See,
I feel like
LaMelo is way more likely to do that, to have like or 7 3-pointers made or a bunch of offers.
But there was those games down there, particularly against the Rockets, where Dort, it was kind of a couple of times he was wide open. It was just like, oh, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen? But look, he's got great energy. He's got great hair. He's fun to watch as well. They're all fun to watch. Yeah. I just feel LaMelo's got a little bit more of that league pass alert in him. At this stage, anyway.
I'll tell you what's not fun to watch, though. The OKC broadcast, just in general, aesthetically speaking, it's not pretty. I don't want to be picky in particular, but my aesthetics, they've got to look good. I've watched League Pass and OKC games for years and years and years. I've tried to be happy with it, but the picture coming through those wires, it's just not, it's not great. The color scheme, something going on there. And so that bothers me. I just need a nice picture. It's like JD wouldn't let that happen. You know, he wouldn't let that happen in the happy hour that's happening tomorrow. I'll bring the appetizers. It has to be better. That's my problem with it. I think that team long term, you guys are talking about, let's ride the Hornets wave right now. The picture quality is better. LaMelo Ball isn't being ridiculed for what he can't do. He's being praised for the things that he does. And that's going to, the honeymoon period will go away. And They're basically the same record right now while OKC is trying to rebuild and the Hornets just paid a guy $120 million. So yeah, I'm happy they got LaMelo at three, but I think OKC's trajectory, despite their problems on their broadcast and the way it looks, is just, it's going to go up and up while the Hornets might plateau a little bit. Although, listen, there's some great aesthetics. Like you said, Miles Bridges. I mean, there's so much fun on that Hornets team right now. Just ride it while it's hot. And then go to OKC a year later. I mean, you're from both. You know, flip back and forth. Trey's right. What was the quote there? What was the quote? Being picky is... No.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah, amazing. There you go.
There's a weird link between these two teams that I had forgotten about. And I was reminded doing a little research. Charlotte initially selected Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Kentucky with the 11th overall pick in the 18 draft, but promptly traded that pick to the Clippers for the 12th overall pick and two future second round picks. And the Clippers then selected Miles Bridges for the Hornets with the next pick there. So a weird little thing. Just a link between these two teams there for Chris. But hey, you're right. I mean, you can cheer on both teams, but that all said, Trey, even you would admit, if you're cheering for the Hawks all season long and the Bulls come to town, you're going down to the Fortress, you're rocking a Bulls jersey, you're cheering on Chicago. So I get it.
No
Maybe
doubt.
Not in the finals, but we do the same with the Raptors when they come here to Atlanta. And Lee, yeah, Lee will cheer for both teams, like literally have both teams on his chest. He'll have a jersey underneath a jersey or a jersey underneath a jersey so he can just rip one of them off, whoever takes the lead, and just keep swapping them back and forth. But most normal people, yeah, you do sort of got to pick eventually when they're battling each other. Though you're right. You're not going to see the Thunder and Hornets in the final for a little bit at least. Fun question to get us started here, Chris. Next one. Hey, No Dunks crew. I've been a fan since the TBJ days and always loved that you guys weren't like mainstream sports media and would talk about all the teams and fun occurrences, etc. And yet, in the year of our Lord of 2021, you have just become ESPN Junior. How is it that you guys have talked more about OG Anunoby on a sub-500 team that's going nowhere than the team with the best record in the league? Yeah, someone's going to have to fact-check him on this one, but I've heard all of you dismiss them as boring. They're the number one offense in the league. They're amazing to watch. They've looked dramatically improved since Doc left. They've been demolishing teams during their current win streak. He obviously sent this in before they just lost. Paul George is shooting 50-50-90, and he couldn't get more than a passing mention in your MVP discussion. Meanwhile, you've already penciled in LeBron as the winner of the MVP because he's barely trying. Am I taking crazy pills? What happened to you guys? I miss TBJ. That is from Isaac O., who is livid that we are overlooking the Clippers, of course, and talking about OG. What do you think there, Tass?
I love this email from Isaac O., and I wanted to put it early to get everybody spunky, to get everybody a bit charged, because it definitely got me charged. First of all, ESPN's not talking about OG Anunoby. They're not talking about the Raptors, so let's get that straight. Yeah. The only show that will talk about a sub-500 team every stinking show, it's this show, Isaac. And we have talked plenty of Clippers. Okay, lately we haven't, because it's about proving it in the postseason. Yes. That's a big part of it. It reminds me of the Milwaukee Bucks of last year. People weren't talking about it for a long time until they're, you know, going on a crazy streak. So it is about that. And I think that's fair because of what happened with the Clippers and also because they won 68% of their games last year. They were a freaking good team. And now they're better, actually. They're at about 73-74%. They definitely are passing the ball more. They've got so many guys hitting three-pointers, and that's why they have such a great offense. They're sharing it. It ain't just about a couple guys. They have some nice additions, like Luke Kennard and friends. But at the same time, it's we've talked about them the exact right amount, I think. I mean, it's boring in a good way. The Bucks are boring in a good way. They get everybody involved. And LeBron's not going to win MVP, but either is Kawhi or Paul George, most likely. I mean, Kawhi has a better chance, I guess, but there's other guys that are doing a little bit more than Kawhi or whoever. So, I don't know how you guys feel. I think we've done a pretty good job. There's been some Clippers talk. There's been a decent amount of Clippers talk. There's been too much OG Anunoby talk. I'll give that to you.
Relax. You know, don't be as much OG Anunoby talk as I fucking want there to be OG Anunoby talk. I can't stand these emails or these comments. So, yeah, you got me a little spunky here, Tess.
Yeah.
Good win for
Ooh,
you.
Spunky skis.
Nothing drives me more over the last 15 or 16 years of doing this show, a daily show where we talk about the NBA, than the classic, like, immediately following a show, why didn't you talk about blank, my team. We made a damn R&B song about this very topic way back in the day called Show and Love, because we always get this. And I get it. You're a fan of that team. They have a big win, or they're on a run, or something happened. You're excited. You want to hear what we have to say about it. And then sometimes we don't. I get it. But otherwise, we would have 10-hour shows. We're already killing JD as it is. We can't talk about every team and every player every day. I like to think we do touch on a lot of teams, a lot of fan bases that a lot of the other, media outlets do not ever. I like to think we do. Could we be better? Sure, we can always be better. But come on. Like, we get to these teams. And you're right, with the Clippers example, we just said it on the show. They're amazing. They're rolling. Wow, things have changed there with Ty Lue taking over. But yeah, they're one of these unfortunate teams that it really won't matter, Lili, until we get to the playoffs and how they do in a matchup against whoever they're playing. That's the truth. That's just what it is. So you sort of get a little exhausted just saying the same thing over and over again, and that means you maybe overlook them a little bit. Am I wrong?
You are so right. The people love it when the temper boy gets spunky.
Damn right.
Honestly, we put the Clippers in every single show. Clipper bros! And they come in and talk. So what else do you want? You're literally a fabric of the show. And like Tass is saying, we've seen it before. The Clippers started 13-5 last year. The Clippers had a 7-game win streak last year. They're on fire right now. Kawhi and Paul George, both 50-40-90 guys. That's crazy. Let's see if it happens in the playoffs, because the question still remains, what are you going to do with Anthony Davis? Because the Clippers have been pretty good on defense, but they don't have an Anthony Davis answer, I don't think. You can maybe take away one of LeBron or AD. Is Ibaka going to be the guy? I don't know, but we talk about you every show. Turn up.
Awesome. Lee, what do you think, man?
No, Isaac, man, you cannot possibly send in this email right now. I'm just going to try to be whispering it to you because these other guys are going crazy. Yeah. Isaac, you don't want people talk about the Clippers in January, okay? Just let them play. Let them win. They're playing great right now. No one's paying attention. That's what you want for the Clippers, because you don't want us to be bigging them up right now saying, oh, I think this is a year for the Clippers. I think they can get it together. It isn't Ty Lue doing a great job. You want it to be like, oh, we dismiss the Clippers so they get it all together. They work on that chemistry. And then come June, July, whenever the hell the playoffs are this year, then it's like, oh, the Clippers are kind of snuck up on me because they've been playing such boringly good basketball this season. So, Isaac, just
we're getting another email. Isaac gonna be gonna say, why do you mispronounce my name?
Isaac.
I'm so pissed. Isaac. And also, listen, great points there, Lee. I think I had Jazz written down in my notes and I couldn't remember why, and I just remembered we talk about teams like the Utah Jazz far more than mainstream outlets, and we're like, we get down because they are a good story right now. The Clippers just aren't overwhelmingly a good story, although they are, very good, and they're getting a bunch of guys involved. That is really important. Ty Lue came in there and said, hey, you know how we won the championship? We got everybody involved, so let's do that. So that's really important. And you just remember me also, Isaac, don't call me Isaac, that I picked the Clippers to go.
What's wrong with his name, Isaac? That's his name. It's a double A, Isaac.
Isaac?
I've never heard somebody say it. It sounds like you're saying Isaac.
Yeah.
Isaac. All right, Isaac, whatever the hell your name is, you tell us what it is. You tell me who's pronouncing it right. I reckon he's going with me on this one.
Yeah, you might be right.
You wrong, Zach. But I picked the Clippers to go to the NBA Finals just because I just wanted to swerve, and it's going to be crazy to see. I think they will be a different team in the finals, and I can't wait to see them play the Lakers, hopefully again in the Western Conference Finals. Sorry to all those other teams that are going to get mad at me now for saying I want to see the Clippers and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. So that's fair.
That's how it goes, man.
Everybody's just mad.
Like a perfect example. I saw it the other day. The Pacers and Raptors played back-to-back games, right? And I get it. We talked about the Raptors when they won. And then the following game, of course, the Pacers-Raptors play again. Pacers win that one. Brogdon, huge game. And we didn't talk about it then. What do you see right there in the YouTube comments right away from a guy named Pacers fan? Is like, oh, you conveniently don't talk about the Pacers. Well, yeah, you're right. We don't. You want to hear more about the Pacers? Start your own damn podcast, okay? Just do it. Because we have to come up every morning at 8 in the morning, you know, with the rundown. What are we going to talk about? What do you want to talk about? What should we talk? We have these conversations. And yeah, sometimes we won't get to your team. That's just the way it is. But if you really want to talk about your team more, then you should start your own podcast. You can talk about the Pacers 24/7, my man. I'm telling you. We did it with the Raps back in the day when nobody was talking about the Raptors. We had a segment called Raps Talk on our show because no one else was talking about them. So just do that, okay? I love it. Now, of course, see, this is the worst thing I could ever do because now I'm encouraging all the sarcastic, like, hey, you didn't talk about my team comments. I'm here for it. I love it. Let's go. Next question.
Who wants a spunk? Skeets wants that spunk.
Oh, right. No thanks. I mean, my name's Skeets already.
Hey, fellas. I recently listened to all of you discuss the possibility of an NBA All-Star game, and I had to write in. The dunk contest should essentially be a pre-recorded highlight tape. Dunkers invited into the contest get to pre-record dunks in their home arena. The NBA can provide camera people to get some amazing angles in production. Dunkers can submit 4 or 5 made dunks. Dunkers are put in a bracket and each round decide which of their dunks they want to show for that particular round. Interesting. Hmm. There could be judges or some sort of live fan voting. One of the best parts is that dunkers can now go crazy without the fear of missing dunks. As a fan, missed dunks are probably the worst part of watching. Oh no, you got to edit those misses in. I want to see those. That's totally eliminated. No more misses. Slim Rizas here, laying it all out. So after the champ is announced comes the best part. Every dunk submitted from every dunker is aired. This allows the world to see dunks from players eliminated early and also dunks players may have been saving for the final round. Interesting. Mm. The NBA can even award dunk of the night for the best single dunk. This could be a one-off thing, but I think it's totally perfect to try right now. What do you guys think? Go Suns. That's Slim Rizas. Trey, what do you think?
I'm in. I'm totally in. This is basically how we did the starters dunk contest back in the day, and it worked for us. Yeah. We kept running it back. We couldn't stop doing it. But yeah, you lose the element of surprise. You definitely do with seeing the build-up to them getting ready for their dunk, figuring out where they're going to take their paces from. Maybe they bring out a prop, anything like that, but it's going to be a different experience regardless if we're doing any sort of a dunk contest with no fans being there. So, yeah, I want to see the best possible product. I personally don't want to see Mrs. Tass, but if you want to put in a miss, you can put in one miss. We don't need to see 17 misses. We can see the first miss, and it's like, okay, he didn't get it on the very first try, but he got it eventually. When you're seeing these pro dunkers on YouTube, on Instagram, you're only seeing the makes, right? You're not seeing the work and the attempts that go into it. And these people are getting 1 million followers, 2 million followers, humongous plays. People want to see the glory of a dunk they haven't seen before. And it feels like the dunks have just gotten so hard right now that it's hard to get them right on the first time. It's not a guy going for a 360 and we're amazed if he knocks it down the first time or going through his legs once. We want to see a 720. We want to see between the legs 2 times. We want to see somebody go underneath the legs. It's hard to do, but if you see it from an NBA player, that'd be amazing. And maybe not having to live with the opportunity of missing 17 times in a row, maybe that attracts some of the bigger names in the game. Who knows? I'm for it. Try something new. Why not?
I'm on board with this. This is a great email. The only part I don't love is the idea near the end where Slim's like, at the end of it all, we show all the dunks, you know, the ones that maybe got buried because those people didn't advance and stuff like that. I don't need that. You know, just keep those in your pocket. I get what you're getting at. You want to see them all, but it's okay. I do love the idea of, like, each guy, if it was 8 dunkers, let's say, that were doing their dunks, and they're obviously doing them in advance, and they bank 4 or 5 of them, whatever they want, and they feel good about it. They've, like, built their resume, right, that they, you know, are keeping close to the chest. I love the idea of them having the ability to, like, pick which one they want to, like, go with, right? Like if, for example, like, if a Trey is throwing down something and I'm up next in our weird dunk contest, it'd be cool to be like, okay, he did that. All right, well, let me go with this one. Maybe that, you know, in their mind is, like, better or something like that. I really think that's a cool wrinkle to this. I'm in. I love it. At first, I was like, nah, I don't know about this. Like, oh, let's just do a three-point contest. I don't think it'll work with dunks. Slim, you've convinced me. I love it. Sign me up.
You know, on House of Highlights on Instagram, sometimes you see guys dunking on somebody as well, and they're just like vicious dunks. Well, these guys have got, I'm sure, people they can say, hey, come in, I'm going to dunk on you for this dunk. Because those dunks are incredible when you see a guy just flying off the other guy. So why not even throw that into the mix as well?
It could be like one like a requirement, like one sure, dunk like, on a guy or something. Yeah sure.
Like that. That could be a part of it. Like just get someone else in the gym because some of those dunks are incredible. And I think why not? You know, it's not dangerous. I mean, you're going to set it up, so it's like just challenge me on this dunk. And, you know, if the guy breaks his hand, just don't show that one. Show the next one.
Okay. The one where he has a cast on his hand. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, what's that? What happened there?
That happened to us in high school, actually. Some friends were filming a dunk contest, and the teachers said specifically, do not use the little trampoline, because we were only like 15 or 16 at the time.
Sure.
It was filmed after school, and it was like, yeah, get the trampoline out. One guy went up, bang, broke his hand.
On the fall, I assume.
Yeah, on the fall, like, yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. I think the video of it exists somewhere.
I was going to say, oh, are you dunking in this video?
Yeah, no, not me. I'll message one of my mates. I don't know if he's still got it. I mean, it's a long time ago now, but crazy. Like the teachers are just like, don't use the trampoline. Okay. As soon as the teachers aren't there, out comes the trampoline and gets sure. broken.
Wow. So you're saying you're 15, 16, so you had to use the trampoline. Were you having dunk contests at 17, 18, 19?
No, it was just that we were in year 11, I guess. So
yeah,
we were
10th
like,
or 11th grade. Yeah.
Something like that.
Is that how that your mate got the nickname Old Eight Fingers? Broke his hand? Lost a couple digits?
Nah, I think you got every digit stayed in place. But yeah, poor guy. Because I think on the video too, if I remember correctly, everyone's just howling with laughter in the background. Then it's like, oh shit, oh, he's hurt. Yeah, quick.
Quick, delete the tape.
Yeah.
The evidence.
This is a really solid idea.
Yep.
This is really solid. This is a strange year. Try something new because there's obviously not going to be a live dunk contest. That just cannot happen. Trey brought up an interesting point. I thought there's no way they would ever show a missed dunk. They wouldn't purposefully put in a missed dunk. But thinking back to old dunk contests, you see one missed dunk of something a guy is trying that's incredible. It can build a little bit of suspense.
Sure.
It would be interesting for the director. Like JD, would you choose to show a missed dunk? I know it depends on the circumstance. Maybe we've seen too many consecutive made dunks. Maybe you just want to throw one in there just to lengthen it out, right, JD?
Yeah.
We're trying to tell a story here.
Well, yeah, and also I think there's suspense involved, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Is the guy going to make the dunk? Mm-hmm. 17 misses can be hard to watch sometimes, yeah. But that's also part of the fun. It's like a train wreck, you know? So,
but I guess you kind of know he's going to make the dunk because
right.
It is taped. But, you know, still a little bit of suspense. Why not?
Yeah.
At least you know he's not going to miss 14 in a row. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not painful.
If they did this, what are the odds, though, that all these dunkers involved, all the friends and family and personnel and team officials around them could all keep this quiet? Though,
no,
I guess they wouldn't have to keep it quiet because we would be judging live in some weird way. Right? Is that the idea of this? Like, their dunks are pre-recorded, but we don't know who's going to win because there's a live voting element as they're presented to the either the judges or the viewing public, I guess.
Right.
So it's not like it could be spoiled like Survivor or something like that. It could be spoiled to who's in it, but that's not a big deal. That just gets you more hyped. And my favorite miss on a dunk attempt, by the way, you got me thinking, I love for the buildup of hype, like you guys are talking about. I love when a dunker like goes to do a dunk, jumps in the air, but like doesn't try to dunk it. You know what I mean? Like he just like shows off the hops, maybe shows the spin or something, or like something he's gonna do, but like just sort of stops in midair and like comes to the ground. And you're like, because then you're like, whoa, 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 what's he doing?
The big
here?
Jump. Mm.
Yeah, like where's his mind going? He's not gonna do that, is he? He's gonna try that. Like that does add to a good dunk contest, at least. This is a great idea. There's something here, and if we're doing this, we can have the 3-point contest, right, Lee? Like that.
Absolutely.
We can just do that live. I don't see why we couldn't do that live.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Gym to gym, 3-point shooters.
Me and JD can get together and do it for me as well. What do you think, JD?
Yes, you keep saying that.
Oh, no, gee, there
you
go.
He just disappeared.
See ya.
Our next one. Good day, skinny marinky dinky dunks. In honor of Steph Curry passing Reggie Miller on the all-time three-pointers made list, I took a look back at some of Reggie's highlight tapes on YouTube. What I found most amusing is how different his shooting form is compared to NBA players today, who all seem to shoot the exact same way. Still, despite the elbow-out, chicken-wing shot form there, Reggie was able to be one of the most lethal shooters in the game. I think it's safe to say, though, that at no point would a shooting coach in today's game suggest a player shoot that way to improve their shooting percentage. That is probably true. My question to you, though, what is something you feel you do well in your everyday lives that would absolutely never be taught to the next generation as the best way to do so, as it is just completely weird? This fun email is from Nick, who says, P.S. I've been a fan since the days when Tass would prank call random Toronto businesses and meow at their employees. I guess was a thing that happened. I'm not sure you did it like daily or anything like that.
It was a pick and payoff. It was a wager. So that was part of it. I didn't just want to show my animal noise prowess to local Toronto businesses.
Right.
But it was a good time. Thanks for listening for this long.
Yeah, that's a long time listener there. But what do you think, Lee, to answer that question? What's something that you feel you do well in your everyday life that you would just never teach to the next generation? Because it's weird, probably.
Well, so obviously, I think I can teach the fundamentals of basketball to kids, right?
Okay.
And so a few years ago, I was at a birthday party with my, he's now 8, but I guess he was about 4 at the time. And it was in a gymnasium area, like this thing, where there was a basketball court and the party was down one end.
Like a gym.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the basketball court. It was a whole big thing. Anyway.
Right.
And one of the other parents who knew I was coming said, listen, there's a few other of the older brothers and sisters coming. And while the party's on, would you mind taking them down the other end of the court? You know, and having a little basketball sort of clinic-y thing with them. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, no worries.
Yeah, it might just end up with me shooting the entire time, but I can do that. Yeah.
Watch this. Anyway, so we got there and the kids, the birthday kids are all doing their thing. And I went down the other end. There's, I don't know, 4 or 5 kids, a couple of boys, a couple of girls there. And all right, kids, we learned to shoot from the inside out. So we run into the paint here and we're doing off the backboard, just basically layup
the
shots.
The mic and drill, okay.
These kids are just like, nah. We're just firing away, man. We're firing from deep. And, so kids about 8 years old, they can make basic shots on a normal size hoop, but they can't. They haven't really got depth or, they can't fire away from long distance. But this was also at the time when the Warriors and Steph Curry was kind of really like just the biggest story in basketball. So all these kids were just like, nah, no, granddad, we want to just go and shoot threes as far as can. The mechanics go out the window. They're just heaving the ball, And I'm just sort of like, what am I going to do here? Am I going to get angry at these kids and say, no, coming in, it's a birthday party, I'm supposed to have fun? Or am I just going to say, all right, I don't give a shit, kids, just shoot whatever you want. So I that was the first time I thought, in a few years' time, when my sort of 4-year-old, 5-year-old, whatever it was then, when he starts, if he shows an interest in basketball, I'm probably going to be coaching and teaching him and some of his friends, and I'm probably going to be in this same situation where kids don't want to learn to shoot from inside out. They just see everyone shooting threes from so far, and that's what they want to do, and that's not the way to learn it. So I think that's what's going to happen. My old way of learning basketball, one of the coaches who taught me was to stand almost right under the rim and shoot the ball up so it gets your arc on the shot right.
Hell yeah.
Flips.
I'm like, oh my God, that I can't imagine saying that to a kid and the kids go, yeah, okay, I'll do that.
That's true. You know. Trey Kirby knows at our Wednesday night runs back in the day. We always start inside and work our way out. I love it. The fundamentals, man, it actually works.
That's not going away, Lee. Come on, like you're saying, these kids, they got weak arms. They don't have the beef to be able to shoot from deep. You still got to learn by getting close to the hoop.
I know, but I just sort of felt like because we were at NBA TV then and so there was a bit of like, okay, this guy knows basketball, so listen to him. And they were just like, no, nah, man, no. I don't see Steph Curry doing this before the game. I see Steph Curry just, because the footage as well is Steph shooting from half court. So the kids are like, I'm shooting from half court. And I was just like, oh, man, I wonder. I just wonder if that is one of those things that's going to be hard to get kids to learn. Come in closer first and then step back as you get a bit stronger and a bit older. But they weren't my kids, so I was kind of like, I don't really care that much. I'm not going to see these kids all that often, but I tried to do the right thing, but I felt just like an old man. They're just like, get off the court, old man.
Just so ironic, because all you ever do is shoot three-pointers. I've never seen you shoot a layup or make one in your life.
But see, that's the thing. I think you know, especially when it comes to my own kids, if they're interested, I'll be like, I'll teach you all the basics and we'll start from there. But yeah, yeah, so that was it.
You got to put on Steph Curry's master class. He actually has a master class.
I know.
Where yeah, he yeah. starts inside out.
Yeah. I've got master class too. I've got a subscription to that. So
okay. Pull it out on the phone.
At least watch, like, master class with Steph Curry. I already actually almost sort of basically beat him in a 3-point contest. Sort of made him win his one 3-point contest by giving him tips. Really,
well,
should
tell
be
you, what,
you on the master class if you think about it.
My 8-year-old thinks that I'm like best friends with Steph Curry because of that workout.
Sure.
You know, he's like, oh yeah, you hanging out with Steph Curry. And he asked me once if I ever played with Steph, and I'm like,
I mean, I didn't say no.
I played a pickup game with the Warriors while wearing his clothes, yeah. But did I play with him?
Someone just pointed out, because we must have shared it on social, that photo of, I guess a fan actually did a Photoshop of you and your mustache on Curry's body, and then you in that, from that shoot that you did with Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone pointed out, I saw the shorts you were wearing in that video shoot. That's correct, right? You had very, very tight Warrior shorts. Did you not give those to me, I think?
I gave those to you, yes, because before I had that shoot, the Warriors PR said, you know, what size are you? And so I told him the size, but there must be a difference in basketball clothes size and like regular clothes size, because I said I'm a 32 in the waist. And I think you've got them. They're 32s, yeah, and they're so snug.
They're
and
tight.
I was just
they're
like,
tight
ooh.
On me, man.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't understand how that Steph could be wearing those. I mean, yeah, it was so, so tight.
Maybe they played it as a joke.
It was like Kramer wearing jeans that time, you know? I was walking around like that, just like the little wiggle.
They honestly, they are super tight on me, so I can't imagine you wearing these for a video shoot. And shooting in them and playing in them, though you shot well. Maybe you should go with the tight shorts, man. Basically,
yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. You need them just, you know, they keep you from... I don't know. They just keep you
core.
Tight, I guess. Keep the core tight. Yeah.
Oh. And your nuts tugged in there.
Or like Spanx.
Yeah, that's right. You should get a Spanx deal.
She's another one. Sarah Blakely's got her own masterclass there too, Tess.
That's right. Does anyone else have an answer to this? I got nothing. So, Trey, you got something?
Well, I just decided I'm going to get rich buying GameStop stock. So I don't know if that's going to work for the future generation, but I'm in on it right now. It's going up, baby, and it can only go up from here. What's going on with this? I have no idea, but it looks like people are gaming the system, and they're not used to the system being gamed this way. So people are upset about it, but it's working out for me. I'm retiring tomorrow.
With your GameStop stocks, eh?
My stop stocks.
Your stocks are up. You got an answer, Tess?
Well, something I should not teach the next generation is the way I write, the way I hold a pen or a pencil.
Good one.
Yeah, I rest it on the side of my first finger. I don't put my first finger on top. I've got a permanent dent crevice in the side of my finger because that's where I hold it. It just lays there, and it's fine. It works out all right. I mean, I've had teachers try to change me. They tried to change the man. They can change this wild 7-year-old. No way. But yeah, I just picked up a pencil and I started writing. Nobody taught me how to write a pencil. I'm rogue. You know, like the people say, I just learned the piano. I didn't need anybody to teach me. Nobody taught me how to write. I just picked it up and started writing. But yeah, I mean, it leaves a nice indentation
natural.
In there. But I'm a freaking natural. Try and write cursive like me. It's so fun. Writing cursive is fun.
Yeah, what's your favorite letter to write in cursive?
Deep in the Q.
Yeah, for sure. Q's amazing. It's like a 2.
It's a 2.
It's crazy.
What?
It's crazy. Can't change the man. Can't change the penmanship on this guy.
A 2 for a Q? Are we writing numbers or are we writing letters here? It's... Who thought
it is pretty weird. That one's weird. Also weird is a G. I don't feel like a G looks like
a G
would think.
No.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
You got to do something with GameStop. If you make the capital G a GameStop stock, I don't know. Yeah, it's just like a little head on top of a big box. That's what I think of when I see a big G person.
Hey, Money Mellis, do you know what's going on with GameStop?
No.
You keeping up on this story?
No.
Okay. Let's move on. It's what? Stonks are up.
We're showing a couple of photos of me with $100 bills on my face.
Stuck to his face.
All right, moving on. Yo, Ducks. I always love to hear the old rapid fire music start up again when I'm listening to the drop. I realize that every time I hear that music, I shoot finger guns at the beginning of the song when the double shot pew pew goes off on the opening horns. Hopefully you know what the heck I'm talking about. It's almost unconscious at this point, those finger guns. What's a tick or a gesture you do without even thinking about it? Turnips, 90s vibes, blossom. That's from Marshall in Knoxville, Tennessee. So what's a gesture or tick you do? Don't even think about it, Trey.
All these different music cues that we hear get me dancing in different ways when the big beat drops. It's all about fist pumps, you know? It reminds me of a song from Jersey Shore. Once they started fist pumping, I never stopped. When it's the beach stepping theme song, that one I'm doing a little bit more of a step to it. You know, I saw Lee was talking about strutting earlier. That's what it felt like for me when I finally see those toes walking across the screen and the beat drops, but I don't know. We hear these songs every single day, every single week. You can't not dance to them when you hear them.
Great answer. What do you got, Lily?
I guess a bit of a tick I've got is, you know, I would swear a little bit around the house, and now I've got two kids who hear those swear words and start repeating them, so mm-hmm. I've tried to really cut them out. So instead of saying the F word, I'll just say things like, oh, you know, and, you know, like, and I just catch myself as I'm about to say it. And my four-year-old says, Dad, why are you saying phew? And I'm just like, don't worry. But you know when sometimes you're really frustrated and you want to let go with a big F-bomb and they're right there. What are you doing? What are you saying that for? What are you doing that for? And you're just like, go away, get out of this room so I can just say off in the behind the door or something.
Got no problem dropping it when JD's got to edit it out. Eh?
Yeah, I know. But it's funny because now it's just like, and I've heard both the boys say it at times and I'm like, do I address that or do I just ignore it? Because if I address it, then it brings attention to it. Or if I just ignore it and try to not say it myself, maybe they'll just move on from it. And I think that's been the more effective strategy. But yeah, you got to be so careful, especially in the car. Got to be careful in the car. Oh, you're driving along.
You got a lot of road rage.
Yeah, you're an angry driver.
No, not rage, but just, you know, like if someone does something that annoys me, they'll just be, you fucking idiot. And then I'll just hear from the back seat. No, you fucking idiot.
Sorry,
you sound like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, yeah. But it's been good, actually. It's been good 2021 so far. I've been pretty disciplined, but,
good.
You know. Ah, yeah.
I sometimes love how you stop telling a story.
I mean, it's not someone saying not road rage, but road rage in the comments. No, it's not road rage. I'm not like, you know, fisting up to the windscreen to the other driver or anything
not
like
fisting
that.
Fisting the other driver.
No. No, it's just, you know, you just sort of shake your head. There's a lot of head shaking and come on, man, go. What are you waiting for? No. What are you doing?
You don't consider that road rage, in all honesty?
No, I don't see it as road rage, because road rage would be me like, I'm going to run
honking
that car
the
off
horn.
The road. Yeah, like, come on, you idiot. Instead, you're just sort of like, it's that disappointment. It's
yeah,
like,
oh. I'm not raging. I'm disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. Road disappointment.
You're a road dad, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, my tick or gesture, this is an interesting one, because for like 39 years of my life, as you guys know, as most of our viewers know and listeners know, never had a beard, ever. And I always noticed people with a beard. This goes for our man Trey, this goes for JD. Tass not as much because he's got a, you know, well-manicured beard. But like my buddy Zach, you guys know Zach Cox, he's had a beard for a while. I always noticed people with beards were always touching them. You know, you're just talking to them. Our friend Graydon, another great example. You know, just touching them, always touching them. And I would always notice it when I'm talking to the person, you know. And I touched my face when I had no beard. And I mean, I do that. And then now that I have a beard, I'm doing it all the time. It's impossible not to do. I don't know, Trey or JD, if you have tips to stop doing it. Or maybe you should encourage it. I don't know. And I find
Why
myself...
Why would you stop?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, my tip is do it when the camera's off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Always touching it.
Yeah.
Feels fun.
Yeah. When you're thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm doing this thing. I'm doing this. This is a bad one. I'm doing this
twisting.
Twirl. Yeah. Mm. So I'm like, this one weird part is getting twirled right here.
I'm the same. I can't stop touching it. For me, it's like, it's also with my hair, no matter the length. It's all about getting tangles out at all times. Like, I don't know, with curly face hair, curly hair, there's a lot of intermingling. And I feel like I got to keep them picked out. I got to keep it all flowing straight for the definition. It doesn't do anything. If I get one curl out over here, another one sprouts.
Yeah.
It's like a hydra.
Yeah. I didn't really notice that. Any of you really touch it a lot, though.
No. I don't know. Now you'll never not see it, I'm telling you.
Right. Yeah. Isaac, our old friend Isaac Cox, he definitely touched it. I remember. And Graydon Gordian, definitely. But you guys, not so much. You guys, it's like, I mean, JD's a quick shaper. He likes to shape it real quick.
I do.
Trey
yeah.
shapes it a little bit as well. Yeah. It's not like a, I'm just thinking while I'm touching my beard, you know? More just a, all right, it's there. It's in the proper place.
It's still on my face. Yeah. Great. I'm actually attached. For the first time ever, I'm getting my hair cut on Friday, going to the barber, and I'm getting my beard done. Never done it.
Ooh.
Terrified that they're just going to slit my throat. Seen it in
it's,
movies.
It's a slow
Are you
process.
Going to the Demon Barber of Fleet Street? That could be a problem.
Yeah. So what were you saying, Lily?
Well, yeah, I grew one once when I was traveling around, and it was in the Middle East, and I went into a barbershop and I said, can I have a beard trim? Thinking he would just be going and take care of it. But it took him forever. Like he went really slow, and he had that like the old style barber blade. And you are like, oh my God, he could just slash my throat here in 2 seconds if he wanted to. But it's not pleasant, actually, Skeetsy. I don't think you're going to enjoy it.
I'm already worried. Now
it's totally fine. Don't get the clippers and buzz.
Yeah,
no,
but I just want the clippers.
Yeah. Okay, that might be okay, but if he gets that razor blade out, run.
Yeah, well, it's actually a woman. Nyx. Her name is Nyx, I just
Uh-oh.
Realized.
Uh-oh, now I'm worried.
Oh my God, I didn't even put that together. Also, I gotta tell her where my moles are, right? Like, you gotta be careful around these moles, or we'll be bleeding out for days here.
Well, anytime I've had my beard trimmed, they're not running just a clipper on it. It's like they brush it out and then they trim it like a hedge. Like your face is a hedge. I think they stay buried, you know? What's underneath the ground stays there.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Didn't you have, Lee, on the starters, you had an old barber blade trimmed, didn't you? I feel like that was one of our pick 'em payoffs where Lee had to get... I mean, I remember he got a haircut and he got his own face shaved into the back of his head. That happened
got
once.
Waxed.
Yeah.
I think, I remember using the trimmer on Trey one time, the beard trimmer. That was the last time I think you had a sort of clean-shaven face. But I don't remember having one, maybe.
JD, are you thinking about actually shaving your beard? Because you mentioned it Monday, I think.
Yeah, well, it's crossed my mind, as I said. You know what it is? It's the mask. Like, we have to wear a mask everywhere, and it's just, like, and it moves the mask up into my eyeballs, kind of thing. So you can't see the beard anyways, other than coming out of it. So I look at all these people with these perfectly form-fitted masks, and I go, that could be me.
Why don't you take off your beard, tape it to your mask, and then just wear it around? You got the best of both worlds.
Great
idea.
Still
have your beard. You got a perfectly placed mask.
Yeah, you need a mask with your beard printed on it, too, so people can see, like, your full beard.
Yeah.
But are you allowed to go get your beard trimmed without a mask, Skeets?
You got to do a temperature check and all that before you can get in. That's a good point. Yes, you can. At this one, you can, obviously doing all the testing and stuff like that. But everybody else has it on. So, in theory, you're the only person. And there's only one person in the barber shop. Like, it's a pretty small place. So, at a time. So, it's not that bad. We'll see. I don't know. You guys have terrified me. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm just going to get my hair cut, I think. Keep my mask on. We'll see. You guys will find out on Monday.
Exciting.
Next question. Howdy roast beefers. I work for my dad as a tradesman in a small town in Western Australia, and although he is a super casual NBA fan, he still enjoys listening to the podcast while we work. However, he has a few common questions or phrases every episode. For example, he always asks, what the hell is this all about? Every time the random clip plays before the intro music. Yeah, our weird cold opens. I could see that why that would be confusing. He will often join in on the friends for Lee. And his personal favorite, he will randomly look at me and say, "Connor, Connor, Connor, what are you doing, man?" in a thick American accent, as JD did when answering my question about getting the Kurt Cobain t-shirt all those months ago. I remember that that moment. Oh, yeah. JD doesn't have an American accent, but I know where you're going here. He loves it. This is Connor's dad. As for the question, did you guys ever have any catchphrases that you considered making your thing that just never caught on? Cheers. That's a lot of roast beef. Again, that's from Connor. Shout out to Connor and his dad, hopefully listening in Western Australia. What do you have, Tass?
I love this email. This was great. Okay. And well, you wanted something random, as you mentioned about our opening clip. Well, I got some random stuff for you here. Mike D'Antoni's Suns and his Rockets. He only went like too deep on the bench. So he had like seven guys out there. So I wanted to create a video once upon a time. I wanted to create his seven Rockets or his seven Suns coming at to the forefront of a video when people said, "Oh, you got to go deeper into your rotation." I wanted those guys to come, the seven Rockets to show up with Prince's track seven dropping. "All seven and we'll watch them fall. Ding, ding, we'll stand in the way of love and we will smoke them all with that intellect and that savoir faire." Anyway, I'll stop there. But I thought we had something. I thought we had something there. I proposed it to the Rockets. It didn't work out. But anyways, I can see why it was denied. I can see why they didn't want it. But no, I like to come up with something unique for the situation, to each situation. So right. On Thursday night when Skeets has our own little happy hour, our own little watch party on YouTube that you should all join, we'll throw some around, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like basically a brainstorming sesh for us, NBA Happy Hour, talking to the fans for sure on YouTube. Okay, so that was a very unique example there that we were trying to make your thing. And I was going to say continue with it, but I guess he's not coaching anymore, so that's going to be a little difficult. Mm-hmm. What do you got, TK?
It must have been during the lockout. I said something about if the season doesn't start on the right day, blah, 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 whatever it was. If that happened, I was going to stop saying Ayo as my catchphrase. Whatever happened actually happened, but there was no way I could give up Ayo. Are you kidding me?
No,
are you kidding me? You can say so much with those two simple syllables. I can't rebrand now, and at this point, it's just too good to give up. So people will bring this up to me occasionally, probably about once a year. They're like, "Hey, man, weren't you supposed to get rid of Ayo?" I can't do it. It's just impossible.
Let me ask you this. If Big Mayo came a-knocking and said, "We want you to say Mayo instead of AO, and we'll give you X amount of dollars," how much money would it take?
$500.
Deal.
Easy. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, would I give it? I'll say whatever Tass wants me to, but only if he pays me off of his forehead.
And in Canadian, maybe.
All right, good to know. I mean, yeah, AO's too good. That's not going anywhere. But it's good to know that Mayo, if you're listening, if Hellman's is listening out there, give me another Mayo company. French? Are they in the Mayo game? Or are they in the mustard game?
Dukes.
I don't know.
Ooh, I would like Dukes. Dukes is getting into sponsoring stuff now, right? They had a college football game where whoever won got to dump mayonnaise on their coach. So
come on.
I'll let you dump mayonnaise on me.
Bringing it back to the spunk.
Well, let me jump in here with JD. Let's say a razor company came to us. Let's say Harry's came to us and said, "I'll give you how much to shave that beard?"
Wow. Make me an offer, Tassie.
Well, I'm definitely going 4D.
Whatever you see in this photo.
I mean, that beard is legendary. Got to go at least 4 digits. No offense. Like, that's...
Yeah.
No offense to Mayo.
Five digits.
Five?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
10 Gs. You'll shave it for Harry's.
10 Gs? Yeah, I'll do it for 10 Gs.
All right. That's a great...
In cash, not in razors or anything. Like
razor credits.
That's right. A lifetime supply of razors. No, no, no. It's $10,000. American.
Okay. $10,000 American.
Lee, what do you have for this? What's a catchphrase? Your thing, man. Didn't happen.
Well, I've only got one phrase, and that's very solid play that started on the basketball court. And now anytime someone has something in their life, it sort of brands out, it reaches out to anything. You know, right. Someone's like, oh, I had a very solid meal. You know, they send the two thumbs up with their plate, you know, like, yeah, like this, you know. And, you know, some people have said, oh, very solid car. One guy sent me once, he proposed to his wife. She said yes. He said a very solid proposal. I'm just like, all right, great. Good.
You should love that, man.
I sort of do, but you know, it's like that I can never escape it though now, so you know, that's what it is. But yeah. it's just like sometimes like that, you know, when someone's like proposing to his wife, and they, I hope you're not thinking about me while you're proposing to your wife here, you know, just like, just get the proposal out the way first, and you know, don't worry about sending me the photo or the graphic or anything like that. But you know, That's now what I'm attached to, so it's like, sure. Great, I'm fine with it all. It's just they get some weird, weird ones. Like in the stream team already, some are very solid answer. Absolutely. Very solid curse, you know.
it's your brand, man. It's
yeah, fine. It is. Yeah.
Lean into it. You need verysolidlead.com. You should buy that up.
Well, you know, I've got now. The...
Oh, yeah. I did it all for the nookie. The nookie. Oh, he's wearing it over his headphones. Lee just put on a baseball cap so backwards. That's why I was singing, you know, some Limp Bizkit there.
There's my hair. My own branding.
Very cool. Only cool
the one of one hat, right?
Yeah, that's right. One of one. Yeah. Maybe we'll get some of those back. Who knows?
Maybe. Skeets, you got any catchphrases? I mean, you got good ones.
I got enough catchphrases going on already. I don't need to worry about more. Yeah, of course, good morning, sweet world. We got that on a mug. Embrace the day, I would say, is the other big one. Am I forgetting anything? No, probably not. A lot of people don't know this. I came up with Little John, skeet, skeet, skeet. I get paid every time somebody sings that. No, those are the two. I mean, they're fine. It's a nice bookend to the show too. It's usually at the start and at the end. So, we'll spin that into some more merchandise, I'm sure, down the road.
Yeah, and people in the stream team here very excited about Lee's hat. Take my money.
Yeah,
very solid hat. All right, next one.
When you buy this hat, do not think of me when you're doing it. Do not send me a picture of you wearing it. It's okay if you enjoy it, but I don't want to know about it.
There may be an image of me on the front of the hat, but do not think of me when you wear it. All right, a couple emails left here. Yeah. Hey, NDC Primetime. At age 35 and with a 2-year-old son, my brain doesn't work like it used to. The other day, I wanted to check out some tall boys grabbing some sweet roast beef, so I went to my Twitter search bar, meaning to head to House of Highlights. However, for the life of me, I couldn't remember the name House of Highlights. I struggled for a minute and wound up desperately typing in Court Cuts, which of course is a long-defunct Canadian NBA highlight show. My search was thus fruitless, or should I say, beefless.
Pew!
I did figure it out eventually, but it's weird the semi-helpful things your brain will revert to when it's truly confused. What's a thing that's been renamed or replaced that you can't help calling by an old or original name? Age up, brain demise. What was I saying? That's from longtime fan Dan in Toronto, slamming Danny G on Twitter. Now, I put my hand up to answer this first because I had a brain fart moment earlier this week, no doubt. Danielle was watching Twilight the other night, the original one, like that. Way back playback, and Anna Kendrick was on the screen, and all I could think of was Anne Hathaway. So I couldn't place her name. I just couldn't find her name. And then I thought, how old is this movie? Because Anna Kendrick looks like a child, but you know, my brain was also dead. I thought, you know, she's a young looking person. Maybe she's just playing the part very well. And I realized she was very young in the movie. And so it's not Anne Hathaway. It was Anna Kendrick. And maybe I didn't pitch this question perfectly, but let's go a cappella. Skeets, you're up. I mean, that was crappy. That was real crappy. But whatever. Whatever. I couldn't come up with Anna Kendrick. I just could only think of Anne Hathaway. It took me forever. And I can't believe Danielle would turn on Twilight. Like, of every movie out there. It was so bad. But I watch it.
Does she like it? Is she a fan of it, or because it's?
Yeah,
because
she just
like
likes
it because
it
sort of is crappy. Like it's campy, right? I mean, yeah, people enjoy that stuff.
She likes the camp part of it. She likes the vamp part of it. She likes the vampire stuff. You know, she's into
camping
it.
And vamping.
Camping and vamp.
Hey JD, come on back here. Did you ever watch Tenet?
No. I have not yet.
Oh, man, I thought we were going to talk about it right now. I watched it, Tass. Wow.
Oh, wow. How'd it go?
It went, you know. I didn't hate it. Of course, it is impossible to follow, really. Like, it's like one of those movies. Like, do you really want to watch a movie and then jump on your phone for an hour and a half after trying to figure out what the heck you just watched and, like, go down the rabbit hole of theories and stuff like that? Some people enjoy that. I actually don't mind it every once in a while, but, yeah, it's a real mind F, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But you do it once you start seeing things that people have like done really cool, like graphs with the timeline, because it's such like a movie like based on time and like reverse time and stuff. You know, you start going, okay, that is pretty cool. Now I want to watch it again, having what I think is like a better base of what's actually going on. It was fine. It was long, but I made sure to put the phone away because like I just didn't want to be distracted at all. I did that for the entire movie because it's like a 2.5 hour movie, I think, if I remember correctly. Mm.
Yeah.
Which is no joke. So, yeah, it's good. I'm looking forward to talking about it with all of you one day.
Did you buy it or rent it?
I rented it. Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the thing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe. Like, Tass, like, he splurged, man. This guy bought it right away, I feel like.
Tass knew he was going back for multiple watches to crack the code.
Well, that's a great point. I almost wish I want to watch it again, so I almost wish I did buy it. Although I'm still saving money if I just rent it again.
You could always buy it the second time around.
Yeah, that's true. I could. I don't think I'll be doing that.
I'd be happy to sell it to you. I'm not watching it again.
Can you sell a digital movie like that? I don't think you can. Can you?
Should.
Yeah, make money.
No, you can't.
How much?
But you can't even. Yeah, I'll take anything.
$1.99.
$3.99. Like you were able to jump on afterward. I thought I was lost, you know, within half an hour. So the next, like, unless I stop, I had to stop it and pause it and at least talk it through with Danielle. Right. Otherwise, I would be watching the next 2 hours for nothing. Like, I would just be so lost in the first place, you know, like I was way off. I'd driven
crazy
off the road, you know, I had to get it back on to at least try and understand it. But anyway, the graphs are cool.
Tass, how many times did you have to pause Twilight for Danielle to explain that to you?
A lot.
Why are they walking around in the daytime? They're vampires. What's going on here?
Mm. Well, yeah, I guess you wouldn't be able to see them if you just filmed them at night.
Mm,
that'd be for a boring movie.
Tass is watching Twilight the entire time. Tass is watching Twilight the entire time going, I know this actor in this. I swear I just rented a movie with this guy in this. I can't place his name. Who is that?
I think it was Blake Bortles. I don't know what I'm saying. It cut me off.
Does anybody else have an answer for this one from us at Slammin' Danny G?
I do. So when I was a kid, my dad used to call conditioner, like for your hair, mm-hmm, cream rinse. Okay.
That's the theme of this podcast.
To this day, I refer to conditioner as, I have to stop myself. Like,
oh, wow. Like in a grocery store.
I sound like a 95-year-old guy. Oh, you got any, where's the cream rinse, sir, in this CVS? No idea what you're talking about, Grandpa.
Wow. Do you use cream rinse on your beard?
You're damn right I do, Sonny.
Yeah, I thought you did. Yeah, you must go through a lot of cream rinse. That episode. Wow. That's a crazy one. What do you got, Lily?
Where are we at with Puff Daddy these days? What's his name?
Sean.
He goes by Sean. He's just given up. He's just now, okay, I'm Sean.
I think he's back to Puff Daddy, I feel like. Yeah, hasn't he gone like full circle?
I mean, for a while, he went, what, Puff Daddy, then he went...
He was
what?
Diddy.
P. Diddy. And, yeah. And was, Puffy, didn't he? He was Puffy for a while too, wasn't he?
For sure. Yeah. Wasn't he the Lion for like a few months?
Yeah. I mean, Puff Daddy wasn't a great name, but it's hard to sort of get past that. That's his name for me. It's Puff Daddy. Because if you saw him, what would you call him? What would you call him if you bumped into him? Would you be like,
I would call him Diddy.
Me too.
I think I'd say Diddy. What's up, Diddy? I mean, he's going to respond to any of them. He'll know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I guess I'd probably go Puff. Hey, Puff.
I don't think you should go Puff if you see him.
Cream rinse and Puff. I need some cream rinse, Puff.
It's the magic dragon.
What's happened to him anyway? I haven't heard from him for a long time, old Puff Daddy. What does he do these days?
Puff Granddaddy now.
Yeah. Is he?
No, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
He was huge.
Was he just in a Fat Joe music video that I saw, though? I think he may have been. I don't know. All right. Do you have an answer? Man, what are we doing here at this point? This is turning into NBA happy hour. This is what I expect a Thursday night to be like while we're watching the game. But what do you got, Trey? You got anything?
They call the Sears Tower the Willis Tower now, but it's still the Sears Tower. There's buildings like this in every city.
Yeah.
You got one, Lee, in Australia like that?
Like stadiums, football stadiums and stuff like that. Right. They got all spawned. Like the Air Canada Centre. I mean, no one calls it Scotiabank Arena. Still do
Get
that.
Get out of here. That's the SEC, baby.
Yeah.
That's the hanger. Okay, final one here. Hey, boys. First off, happy 15 years. Incredible to see the Classic Factory still pumping. My question, given the NBL updates for Down Under as of late, I thought I would throw a question at you. The Adelaide 36ers have a player named Josh Giddey who opted to play in the NBL over playing in college. He is a draft prospect for next year, but the thing I am most excited for is for a local broadcast team to start saying, "Giddey up!" when he's on the court. Yes, a la Kramer there. Personally, I hope the Mavericks or the Blazers get him purely because those broadcast teams are great. My question for you guys, is there a player in the league that you think has a nickname waiting to explode? Cheers and beers, that's from Big Kroga Dogga in Adelaide, who just reminded me, anytime Luna's out in the yard doing her business, taking a two, Nora will now say, "Oh, that's a big Kroga Dogga." So, it's almost answering this question in a weird way. Which player, which NBA player could be the big Kroga Dogga? Because that's a pretty damn good name. It's fun to say. Good nickname. I don't know. Maybe one comes to mind. Let me know. But I'll answer quickly. I think he's going to start to get more opportunity with the Pelicans, especially if they move on from Lonzo Ball. Maybe they move on from J.J. Redick. Could be some minutes at that guard spot. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, another Canadian. Yeah, baby. There's got to be some shimmy, shimmy, nah. I just want to hear that more in our lives. Little ODB and his initials, N-A-W. Why not? It's simple, but it's a little long for a nickname. I get it, but it's fun to say. I want it more said on a broadcast, especially, you know, if he's like sliding through the defense or something like that, or he drops somebody with a crossover, a little shimmy, shimmy, nah. That's my answer. But also, everybody let me know who should be big Kroga Dogga in the NBA. What do you got, Tass?
Well, I'm definitely forcing this one here, but Tyrese Halliburton, great name. I love his name. When he sealed the game against the Chicago Bulls, he had a nice sidestep three. I said to myself, curtains, Halliburtons. Now, curtains, I mean, there's got to be a guy who's nicknamed Curtains.
Yeah, that's good.
It's like,
that's
who good. Seals it, you know?
Yeah.
He's got to, like, because I don't know, I just believe in Tyrese Halliburton, I guess. So, but, you know, Tyrese the Curtain Halliburton, you know, it's forced and it'll never fly. But there's something there. There's something there. Somebody just needs that. There's something there.
Because you can hear a broadcast saying that on a game winner. That's good. Curtains, Halliburton. Yeah. I could see that.
You're right.
Having it as his actual nickname, less so. But more in the flow of a game with a big game winner for sure. What do you got, TK? A
couple of Pacers for you. You could definitely call Malcolm Brogdon the big Braga Dogga. And I think Domantas Sabonis, his nickname should be Boner. He's got 80s TV hair. His last name is Sabonis. Come on, Boner is perfect for this guy.
Nice.
Oh, those are both good. There you go. Mm. We always talk about the Pacers every show, Pacers fan. There it is, right there, giving your team nickname, showing them some love.
Yeah, Boner, I never realized. And Boner was on Growing Pains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
This final question brought to you by Roman. Lee, what do you got?
When Miami Heat big man Precious Achiuwa throws down a dunk, it's the big sneeze. Achiuwa!
You know who said that the other night?
Who?
Eagle dropped a similar reference to Achiuwa. He said Achiuwa and then he said Gesundheit or something like that.
He said he had three different sneeze puns for Precious Achiuwa within a span of one quarter. Precious Achiuwa had a big dunk. He said, Gesundheit, Achiuwa. and then he said, he said, God bless you, Precious Achiuwa. And then there was another one, too.
Yeah.
Big sneeze.
I think the final one he said is, Lee, give me your hanky. Cleanies.
Yeah, that could be it.
Right, cleanies.
Get the hanky out.
Yeah, there. To go back to that question, there's something I can't call, I can't look at a hanky anymore and not call it a cleanie or whatever.
Oh, it's funny,
there's
man.
A lot of cream rinse in that one, man.
Since we've been in the sort of quarantine isolation, I barely use the hanky these days. It's just there's not a runny nose in the house, so
it's good.
I have it really on me just for habit, which is great.
It's good. Happy to hear that. Happy to hear your nose is doing well. Let's end there.
Well, nose
so much
update.
For joining us. That was a wild, fun time on the beach. Keep your crazy questions coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tweet them in @NoDunksInc. Thanks again to the stream team for joining us live here for the second time today for some of you. Really, really appreciate it. Subscribe, like, comment, do all that. Go get your items. NoDunks.com. Simple website to get the greatest No Dunks merch in the game, the only No Dunks merch in the game. And finally, if you haven't gotten yourself a subscription to The Athletic, go do it. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. $3.99 a month right now. You can't even buy a cleanie with that. Can you, Lee? Like, what's a pack of cleanies go for?
Oh, you're talking for a good quality pack of cleanies. You're talking $30-$35,
No. Oh, no. I thought you were going to say like $6.99.
Nah, they don't want those cheap ones. Get the good quality ones. They're always great straight out of the packet. They're so fresh.
It's like socks, right? The first time you wear a pair of socks, it'll never be
exactly,
better.
Exactly. Then
first
you have to iron them after
blow
that.
Blow your snot rockets into that piece of cotton. It'll never be better. Yeah. All right. Let's say bye. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and I'm workshopping here. This isn't a fully formed thought, but a guy who unclogs the paint, he's probably a shooter or something like that. He could be the plunger, kind of the opposite of the big clog-a-dog-a. But I don't know. There's something there. I mean, this is really a Thursday happy hour conversation that I'm having here on a Wednesday afternoon. But anyways, I'm done. Let's say bye.
Brace the day, people. You could stay.